glory. I run inside the throne room. Yeah. And before you I bow, I bow.
The veil is torn, the doors fling wide. I see glory as I run inside the throne room. Before you
morning. Come time to go ahead and get started. We want to welcome you to the house of the Lord. Welcome you in the name of the Lord. Thankful you can be with us this morning. I have a little hard time adjusting to the weather. I had short sleeves on a couple days ago and walked out this morning and there was snow flurries before I got in the truck. It's a little bit odd, but such is January and we should expect that. But I don't know. That's for sure. But we want to welcome you in the name of the Lord this morning. Got something I want to share with you that we're going to get to it here in a little bit that the Lord put on my heart to kind of piggyback off a little bit of what we've been seeing in the church and the messages and the teachings we've been hearing and what pastor is preaching on this morning, the sermon series, Recenter, and what God's doing. So, but before we do, as we like to do, has anybody got a spoken prayer request at this time? Heart, brother. Bless your heart, one. You got one, do we? Bless your heart, brother. Absolutely. Absolutely. Anyone else? Oh, wow. Everybody good? Okay. Absolutely. Understand that completely. Terry? Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Sure will. Remember, and there's a lot of flu and sickness going around. I had somebody message this morning saying their kid, they planned on being here, but their kid's got the flu. I know several churches have canceled church and stuff like that. Entire congregations, or most of them, are sick. So let's remember that. Let's remember the schools and the teachers, and 'cause, you know, that can be where a lot of it spreads and just stuff like that. But there's a lot of people sick, and it's, you know, flu is, it's tough on anybody, but on elderly and people that are sickly, it can be very dangerous. So let's remember that. Anybody else? Be another. Any other prayer requests? Okay. Anyone else? Any unspoken prayer requests with the uplift of the hand? It's between you and the Lord. He knows all about it. If you're able to stand to your feet, we'll take these to the Lord in prayer and obviously pray over the service. Brother Terry, you care to lead us? Amen. I'm going to go ahead and give you the Bible scripture, and you could turn there, but I'm not going to read the scripture till toward the end, okay? It's in Genesis 22 is where we're going to end up at. Genesis 22, just first verse will be fine. But when I get there, I'm not going to read from the scripture real quick, or I'm not going to go there right away. But what I want to talk about a little bit is, what is God doing? How many people here this morning, has ever someone has been able to share or come up to you and give you a word from the Lord? You ever experienced that? Amen. And I praise God for that, Tiff. I thank God for the spiritual gifts in operation in the church, Brother Joe, to where God can give you a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom or anything like that. I thank God for that. I praise Him for that. That being said, we also know that God speaks in other ways. God can speak to you in that still small voice, Terry. He can put it in your spirit. And God also speaks, as we know, through the Bible, through His Word. Amen? And so this morning, what I want to kind of dive into, Lord willing, here if we can, is to begin to, Brother Joe, connect some dots of some of the messages, some of the teachings, some of the sermons, if you will. Because oftentimes we pray and we want to know what God wants us to do, or what's next, or whatever going on, or if we got something we're praying for an answer for. And oftentimes we pray and we're seeking these things, and a lot of times the answer is right in front of our face. Because God speaks through His Word. As Pentecostal folks, guys, listen, I know, I believe in the spiritual gifts. That's all good and well. But the way the Lord is going to speak primarily to us is through His Word. Amen? The preached Word as well, okay? Because the preached Word is His Word, expounded upon. That being said, as Brother Dave sat up here and preached yesterday, last Sunday, done a fantastic job. I really enjoyed it. As Brother Dave was preaching, the Lord spoke something into my spirit, a simple verse of Scripture that I have heard all my life, read it, pretty familiar scripture for everybody, but I had never thought of it in this way until the Lord revealed it as Brother Dave was preaching last Sunday. And I knew right away I was probably going to be doing that this week. And as I began to study and pray and everything and ask for God's guidance regarding this morning, I literally, Lord began to just kind of put things on my heart, and I began to study and read and do all those things that we need to be doing. But it all started with this verse, and I'm going to share this verse with you, and it's pretty familiar. You've heard it all your life. No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for for the kingdom of God. Now, I read this scripture. I've heard this scripture preached on. I know this scripture. And that being said, I'm not dismissing any interpretation you may have of this verse, or that you've had for years or heard preached on for years, because how many of you know, thanks be to God, that the Word of God is alive? It can speak to you on a Tuesday, and you can read the same verse, Pearl, on a Sunday, and it speak to you in a different way. That's the power of the Word of God. So that being said, I don't want to throw shade at any interpretation you have on this verse, okay? I'm sure it's legit. I'm sure it's true. It's pure. But I'm telling you what the Lord put in my spirit as Brother Dave shared the message last Sunday, and I know it's from God. He spoke it to me. And it's just another, not viewpoint, but just open your eyes a little bit to see a different angle, if that's probably the best words to use. No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. And this verse right here is actually in Luke 9:62. And then right after that, in Luke 10, see, oftentimes we as Christians, when we read our Bibles and stuff like that, because we may read it chapter by chapter, if you will. In other words, I read two chapters a day or whatever, and we kind of think of it sometimes, Brother Joe, as chapter 8 and 9 was a story, and chapter 10 and 11 was a story, because that's why we read it. When in reality, it was one big old long letter. Does that make sense to you? So right after Jesus says that a man that puts his hand to a plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God, he does this. In Luke 10, it says in the ESV, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. He said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. So before he sends them out two by two, Terry, which would be 36 pairs of people, he tells them that a man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom of God. So that being said, let's try to take it in context, okay? And like I said, I'm not throwing shade at any sermon you may have heard preached 5 years ago regarding this scripture. I'm just telling you. In the scripture, what it says. So why would he tell these 36 pairs of people, 72, that? I believe he's telling a broad bunch, but specifically, they're there too. So I'm going to hear this speech, if you will, this teaching, if you will, and then he's going to turn us loose. So I kind of look at that as some instruction, if you will. In other words, if I've got a job to do, if my boss comes and gives me a job to do, and I'm not sure really what it is, I would hope he'd explain it a little bit, Joe, before he just cut me loose. So, and that, I believe, is what Jesus is doing. But why would he give that? Let's put it in context. Why would Jesus say that and then cut the 72 loose? Could it be? Because he knew what they were going to go up against. He knew what they were going to face. But he was letting them know right away, this is a serious matter. You better get your mind right. You better take this serious. No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. So in other words, I know what you're getting ready to face. You better stand straight, stick out your chest, get your mind right, and be ready to operate. Amen? So in other words, before he turns them loose, he's going to get their head in the game, so to speak, as we shared last week. Make sense? And so Jesus is telling them this. Brother Dave, you care to put the plow up, the picture, brother? Thank you. This would be a plow back in those days. Okay? You got the other one, Brother Dave? You got the other one? If we can get it up there, thank you. There's just a little bit of an example of what would have been on their mind when Jesus speaks this. Does that make sense? So in other words, that's the type of plow, or similar to that, would be what their mind would immediately went to when he said, a man having put his plow or his hand to the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom of God. That would immediately went in their mind before he turned them loose. So, my question is this. What's that mean? Get distracted? Right. Go. Absolutely. Anybody else? Undivided focus and commitment. There you go. That's that. Need both of those in today's world. That being said, I'll tell you something I shared at the Wednesday leaders meeting. For those that was here will remember this, or group leaders training, I'm sorry, is regarding generations. I thank God for what he's doing in Gen Z. And just a heads up for some of you folks, starting next week, we're going to begin back by popular demand, This Generation Speaks. Starting next Sunday, we're going to have a few join us up front here. The Lord's led us that way. We'll go that for a few weeks. Going to have a few different people like we did last time. So I thank God for what he's doing in that generation. I see a fire. I see a passion. I see a generation that's hungry for God, not necessarily tradition. Then, then it gets to me. I'm Gen X, they say, if you will. In my generation, I see overall, not, case, it's not case by case here, but overall, I see a group of people that probably know the scripture a little bit better than Gen Z, have a little bit more wisdom because we've lived it, a little bit more experience. But I also see a generation that, whether we wanted it or not, we were affected by tradition, probably more so than Gen Z as far as religious traditions, if you will. And then I look back to the generation that's before us, the baby boomers, which would be my parents' age, and you know what I see in them? I see more commitment than what I see from my generation and what I see from Gen Z. I see a group of people that, Brother Terry, they pay their tithes. They come to church faithfully. They do these things, okay? They're not lax about them as much, okay? I see more commitment from that generation. And what's that mean? That means we can learn something from every generation. And what you just said, commitment, is needed going forward. But to get back to what Brother Joe said, that is exactly what the Lord showed me. And as Brother Dave was preaching up here Sunday, I saw it as plain as day. No man having, keep in mind, the oxen's doing the work. The oxen's pulling the plow. The guy that's with the plow is merely steering it, is all he's doing, giving commands and steering it. But a man having put his hand to the plow and looking back, kind of hard to stay straight, ain't it? What's going to happen? You're going to double plow. You're going to trip and fall. You're going to forget some things. You're going to make mistakes. So that gets us back to what Jesus is telling him. Get your minds right. A man having laid his hand to the plow and looking back can't do a very good job, can he? Plain simple. And he's getting ready to turn the 72 loose. And they're going to, ready for this? They're going to lay hands on the sick and they're going to recover. The 2x2 goes out. And you know what they told Jesus when they come back? They were so excited, Pearl. They said, even the devils are subject to us in your name. And you know what Jesus, and I love this because Jesus is so kind and so loving, but he tells you straight. He says, in other words, don't rejoice over that, but rejoice because your name's written in heaven. Amen? So every time that they may be prone to allow their minds to get off focus, he brings them back into focus. But a man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Why? Because you're not going to be able to effectively minister. You're going to trip and fall more than you're going to do anything. If you're constantly tripping and falling, and listen, don't get me wrong, we all sin and come short of glory. Okay? But if you are constantly doing it all the time, there's a problem there, folks. I've heard people say this before. Bible says I sin daily. No, it does not. Paul said I die daily. I don't sin daily. If I sin daily, what's that make me? A sinner. Exactly. That means you're practicing sin. Plain and simple, okay? Now, that doesn't mean that you ain't going to mess up sometimes or whatever. That being said, praise God for grace. Amen? If we confess our sins openly, he's just and faithful to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Vicki, I've had to lean on that many a time. With that being said, Josh, as I begin to grow and mature in the Lord, I begin to understand the best way to plow the field is to keep focused on the field. Amen? So now let's see what God is telling us in the church. I'm about to get there, okay? Get your mind right. That's what I said up here and talked last week. Get your mind right. Remember that? Get your mind right. Be focused. Even gave the analogy of me when I played football many moons ago. Get your head in the game, boys. Quit goofing off. Clearing your mind for battle. That's what we taught on last Sunday, amen? And then Brother Dave gets up here and done a phenomenal job preaching on character. It's pretty good. So we need to get our mind right. Let's see now. Don't get me wrong. Let's take it step by step. The Holy Spirit still operates in gifts. And I thank God for the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. And when God puts it on someone, you know, that operates in the Spirit and so-and-so can share a word from the Lord, I praise God for that. I don't dismiss that at all. That's what I told you earlier. But the Lord speaks with his word as well. And the preached word. And the taught word as well. So we're always looking for somebody to give me a word when often the answer is right in our face. What's God been preaching at the church? What's he had me sitting under and listening to? When I picked open my Bible, why in the world did that verse go with exactly what the preacher preached on Sunday? You ever had that happen? Why did the devotional on Monday morning kick in? And my goodness, that's what they taught on in Sunday school. God's trying to tell us something. Amen? So now, clear our minds. Be ready for battle mentally. Character is important. It's what you do behind closed doors that no one sees is going to determine how you react in open doors. Ooh. Talking to somebody this week, and we was talking about worship. I said, well, you know what happens on Sunday is a direct result of how we're living all through the week that week. If in your mind you're thinking, boy, we ain't had a great service in a while, you know what I'll challenge you to do? You need to get in his presence Monday through Saturday. Then when you come here on Sunday, it'll naturally happen. Oh, got quiet, didn't it? Oh, my. Oh, my. Stir up the gift that's in you. Stir it up. Anybody ever here ever made any homemade candy? You know how, you know, when you're making it and stuff like that, starts out, can be runny. But the more heat, thickens up a little bit, don't it? Right? Thickens up a little bit. So you got to stir it up. Got to keep stirring. Got to keep stirring. You ever made gravy? Got to keep stirring. Got to keep stirring. Why? You burn the bottom. Can I tell you something right now? Some of you need stirred. Some of you are in danger of being burned. Some of you are getting stiff. Oh my. Where'd that come from, preacher? But the point of it is this. Let's think what God's telling us. Clear our minds. Be ready for battle. Character is important. We've got to live right. Amen? It ain't just what we say, it's how we live, Terry. Amen? Oh, got quiet. Amen? Okay, good. I'm glad you're still with me. Next, preacher or pastor is preaching this morning on recentering. I don't even know what it's about. I ain't heard it yet. But it kind of goes along with what God's saying. Get our minds right. Let's get focused. Character matters. Let's walk the walk and talk the talk and recenter ourselves. And I don't want to step on his sermon. You ever got lost before and used that GPS? Took a wrong turn and you get this. You know how it's like recalibrating, if you will? Whatever it is. You ever had that? I don't know what he's preaching on as far as how he's going to approach it, anything like that. But when I hear recenter, that's what I think of. In other words, I took a wrong turn. And if I take a wrong turn, I don't need to just keep down the road. Anybody ever took a wrong turn? Just kept on driving? If you did, you're some kind of stupid. Right. But back in the day, before we had GPS, we used atlases for the younger generation. Me and Tara drove to Yellowstone National Park with a road atlas. Did we not? Every night, stopping at the Motel 6, which is where we stayed. Why Motel 6? Was you cheap, Ted? Partially. The other part was because on the back of the Rand McNally road map that I bought at Walmart was every Motel 6 in the country and their phone number. Like I said, had no phones, had no internet access. That was what you had. And every night when we would make our plan for the day, Joe, we would say, well, we think we can make it this far. I'd call ahead with my only credit card that I was so proud to have at that day. It were hard to get back then. Now they give them out like candy at Christmas. But back then they were hard to get. And we'd call ahead and reserve that room. And then we'd get there. Ready for this? Phenomenal. This is how our minds worked back then. We were so afraid that somebody was going to get our credit card number. Back then, it was terrorizing. Oh, my gosh, they're going to get our credit card number, and they're just going to charge up a bunch of stuff. So, man, we treat that credit card number like I'm telling you right now, boys, if somebody finds this, I'm going to hell. I cannot allow anybody to know my credit card number. So when we got there, we didn't just say put it on the car. We paid cash for the room. That was back then, okay? But every time that we would stop, we would get that map out and determine the route that we were supposed to take the next day. How far we thought we was going to make it, that's what we done. Kids, that's how it was back in the good old days. I remember first time I ever used the GPS on my phone, Terry. We went to Destin, Florida, Joe. Used the road atlas all the way to Destin. All the way. All the way through Kentucky, Tennessee, Alabama, Georgia, down through the panhandle of Florida. All the way. Get there, and as a dad who drove it to the Gulf of Mexico, you're tired. Then my son, my oldest son, not my only begotten son, but my oldest son, says, Dad, you know there's a GPS on your phone. I said, what do you mean? And he showed me how to use it. And on the way back, lo and behold, if I'm driving, it says, get in the right lane. And the first time you've ever done it, I don't know if you guys, I was, do I trust it? Oh, gosh. And it took me about, John, it took me about 2 hours into that drive thing. That was the best thing since sliced bread. I went, oh, my goodness, the stress, here it's saying 10 miles before I get there, get in the right lane, take exit 142A. And you wasn't scared and freaking out and, you just worried that she's going to take a wrong turn and end up in a bad side of town with a wife and 3 kids. Okay? But when I say recentering, that's what I think. In other words, I wouldn't just keep on going, Joe, and just get off in the middle of nowhere. I'm supposed to recenter. This pastor's going to preach. I can't wait to hear the sermon. So we need to clear our minds, have character. It matters how we walk. And recenter. Let's determine where we are, what God's telling us, and what he wants us to do. Does that make sense? That's what God's saying right now to this church. Brother Joe? Yeah, good point. Absolutely. So, we shouldn't put our hands to the plow and look back. If we do, we're not fit for the kingdom of God. Why? Because we're going to trip and fall most of the time. That's going to damage our character. Somebody always see you falling in the Lord. If you cussed them out on Monday morning and Tuesday morning and Wednesday morning and Thursday morning and Friday morning, and before you left work on a Friday, you asked him to come with you to church. Is that very effective? Not going to work. Bad character. Bad Christian character. Okay? Got to clear our mind for battle. Man that puts his hand on the plow and looks back, he's going to double plow. He's going to get crooked. He's going to trip and fall. He's going to do all these things. So what's God telling us? One, don't look back. Some of you spend more time looking back than you do forward. Some of you don't want to let things go that God done told you to get away from. Some of you refuse to let go of it. You're asking God to help you grow, but he's done told you to cut loose that thing and you won't do it. Some of you are still caught in what you used to be. You ready for that? What did you used to be? You used to have battles with this, and you used to have battles with that. You are not what you battle with. Do not identify yourself with the attack that the enemy has upon you. You are not depressed. You're battling depression. You are not a person that is addicted to this. You're battling with that. Never identify yourself as such, because you're accepting what the enemy is telling you you are. You understand that? He's trying to kill, steal, and destroy you. Refuse to say, I have anxiety. I'm battling anxiety and God's going to deliver me. I'm battling depression, but you know what? I'm telling you, just as sure as I said here, the sun is going to shine and one of these days I'm going to have the biggest breakthrough you've ever seen. That's how you handle that. First and foremost, identify your walk with Christ is more powerful than the attack the enemy has on you. A man that puts his hand to the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Some of you are busy looking back too much that you can't look forward. Why is he telling us to look forward? Because he's got something for us to do. He told the 72, two by two, go out and do these things. He was preparing them for a ministry, for a mighty work. And guess what? He's doing the same thing today. Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and forevermore. He's got something for you to do. He's got something for me to do. He's got something for this church to do. Let's listen to what he's saying. Let's move into it. A man that puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. You'll get off kilter. You'll get crooked. You're too busy looking back. Why are some others stumbling in some ways? You ready for this? Two things he showed me. I don't just come up with this. I don't rely on my own understanding in this. Some of you won't let go of what he's delivered you from. And some of you are struggling. Ready for this? Because you'd rather walk in the bramble bushes than on the path. When I was growing up, I used to play in the mountains a lot. I used to play in the mountains a whole lot. And because we kids played in those mountains, Terry, there was paths through the mountains. They call them game trails today. But back when I was growing up, brother, we stayed in the mountains, and there was paths running, zigzagging all through the mountains. And can I tell you something? It was a lot easier to get through the mountains going on the path than in the briar bush. There was times I got in the briar bush. You ever had your legs wrapped with briars and you're sitting there trying to pull through it like this? Well, I have. They're wrapped around you, sticking in you. Every time you go to move, oh gosh, pulling it off your leg. Ever been stuck with nettleweed? Tough, ain't it? God didn't make you to go through the nettleweed once he saved you. He's got you on the path for a reason, for a purpose. So, brother, I didn't expect this morning. I just thought we'd come to Sunday. Sunday school is learning. What is God telling us, even? What's he want, Leanne? Does he have a job for us to do? We need to be focused, Teresa. We need to have character. We need to be looking ahead, not back. Brother Terry, fear not. Fear not. How many times is that said in the Bible? 365 times. Josh, how many days in a year? 365. Ain't that amazing? Fear not. God knows what he's doing, guys. Fear not. Now it gets me to the scripture that I want to read. It says this, Genesis 22, verse 1. I've only got a little bit of time, so I'm going to go ahead and read this, okay? This is the story of Abraham and Isaac, okay? Abraham and Isaac. After these things, God tested Abraham. It's an ESV, by the way. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, he said, here I am. He said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. I want to read this again. Speaking of Abraham. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Abraham cut the wood. That's all I'm trying to just pull out to you, okay? On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it on Isaac, his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife. And so they went both of them together. Isaac said to his father Abraham, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. He said, behold, the fire and the wood. Where's the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they both went together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, here I am. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. And Abraham went, took the ram, and offered it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. And it is this day on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. And the angel of the Lord called Abraham a second time from heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will bless you. I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven, as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. Nothing I say will ever be as powerful as the word of God that I just read. Abraham has waited for years for God to give him an heir, a son. And he gets his son in his old age. How many of you think he loved him? Can I tell you something age does? It softens you. That's why grandparents spoil their grandbabies probably more than they spoiled their babies. So now Abraham with Isaac, who God provided, who God gave him when his wife was too old to bear a child. It was a miracle, Teresa, that Isaac was even here. Now God is telling him, take Isaac and offer him to me. Get your spiritual halos off. That'd have been hard. But the Bible said that they make it. Do it. Absolutely. Can I tell you what the Holy Spirit spoke to me as I pulled on the parking lot on Tuesday morning? That's why we're here. Heard in my spirit, Jeremiah. Put that old Chevy Silverado in park. Right up there. Before I grabbed the handle, I heard it from the Lord. I knew I had to share it. That's why we're here. Simple. Three words. God honors obedience. Don't just say it. Think about it. The God of the universe, the one that created everything right, spoke it into existence. That's who we're talking about here. Teresa, the one that whose word everything was founded on. The earth hangs on nothing but his word. Do you understand that? When he had created the whole earth, the sea could have just overwhelmed the whole land, but God said the sea comes here and it stops, and it stopped. You understand who I'm talking about here? I'm talking about the one that Isaiah said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. That same God honors your obedience. God honors obedience. But obedience requires us doing something. Doing the uncomfortable. Doing the hard. Okay? Remember me telling you about old Abraham chopping the wood and everything like that? The Bible said that he laid the wood on Isaac, but Abraham was responsible for the fire. Can I tell you something right now? Isaac was a representation. Mount Moriah, which is where he went to, would later be called Jerusalem. For some of you that did not know that, Moriah was in the land that would eventually be called Jerusalem. So in other words, God told Abraham to take his only son and offer him at Jerusalem. And the Bible said that the wood was placed upon Isaac to carry. Can I tell you what he does? He took a cross and he placed it upon Jesus to carry. Jesus was responsible for carrying the wood up onto Mount Moriah, just like Isaac was responsible for carrying the wood to the sacrifice. But just as well as Jesus would carry the wood and make the sacrifice, guess what? God lets you know and me know through Abraham that even though Isaac was responsible for the wood, Abraham had to carry the fire. Let me tell you something right now, church. It's time we wake up and realize that the sacrifice that Jesus made was perfect. It was complete, 100%. But I've got news for you. You and I, from today now until he comes back, have a responsibility. We must stay in tune with God, live close to the cross, carry him, worry about our character, recenter our focus, clear our mind. Guess what? Because Jesus wants us to operate just like the 72 did. I'm asking you this morning, will you
you do it? What is God saying to us? A man that lays his hand to the plow and looks back ain't fit for the kingdom of God. Why? Because you can't walk straight and do the job that God wants you to do. I'm here to tell you, it's time to quit being dead and time to wake up. God wants you to know the fire is inside of you. You got to stir it up. Get the big wooden spoon off the wall and start using it. God honors obedience. Obedience don't say, why, God? It says, yes, Lord. Lord, I don't know. Oh, you want me to do what? Oh, yes, Lord. Jesus went through the same thing in the Garden of Gethsemane. And the Bible said he prayed and his sweat became as great drops of blood. And he got to the point as he prayed and he agonized that he said, nevertheless, not my will, Father. Will be done. He submitted to the will of God. I'm asking each of you today to search yourselves. Are you willing?